Hey, America.
Start listening now. Ooh.
Wow, this is good. We've got we're in Sweden.
We are.
This is great. We've got some of the oh.
What?
Wait. Where's Danny?
What do you mean, where's Danny? I thought you had him.
Well, no, you said you were going to pack him with your stuff.
No.
Put him on the list.
What?
Yeah, I brought my small bag this year. You had to take Danny. Derek, roll the music. Oh, crap.
And welcome to another majority female episode of 12 Points from America. They're high-fiving. A Eurovision Song Contest podcast from Sweden.
Woo!
The country where you can take a plop right in the grocery store.
But it'll cost you.
Yeah, you got to pay for it. Sam, because I don't actually remember, and also because we should explain that, can you explain that? What is a plop in this context? And why would you want to take a plop?
I highly, highly recommend that you have a plop or two if you have the chance while you're in Sweden. It is a delicious chocolate, of course, candy bar filled with caramel. It is wonderful. It is one of the first things that I purchased when we walked into the grocery store across the street from our little flat here. That, a bag of Ahlgren's Bilar, which are
Bilars are good.
They're little marshmallow cars. A bag of Polly, which is not, you know, a Bulgarian singer distilled into candy form, but it's like little butterscotch marshmallows enrobed in chocolate, and it kind of almost tastes like they're boozy, but they're not quite.
Yeah, I mean, you fed me some of them. They tasted more like, I imagine if Bailey's were a candy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. I do like Bailey's. I don't know that I really liked Polly's, though.
Fine, more for me. More for me.
Well, okay. We're going to talk more, sort of, about Swedish confections later in this show for some reason. But until we do that, Sam, why don't you... Oh, by the way, I'm Eric.
Derek and Danny are not here, but I'm Sam.
And I'm Liz.
Yay.
Yeah, we've got a Liz for the next handful of shows, I think. And Derek and Danny did not, despite our very funny jokes, they just didn't come this year. But we are here. We're in Malmö now. Liz and I did a little bit of traveling around Denmark and rural Sweden. Rural is the worst word.
Rural.
Yes, that one. That's the one I mean. Sam, hit him with the socials really quick.
Yeah, you can find us on all the standard social media outlets at 12pointsUSA, or you could just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Feel free to check out our fabulous merchandise over on our Redbubble page. You could support us via a monthly contribution on Patreon, which will get you exclusive content, early access to episodes. However, if you would like to support us in another way and don't necessarily want to do a monthly contribution, we're grateful for you either way. We do have a new account on Ko-fi or Ko-fi. It's ko-fi.com/12pointsfromamerica. And you can give if you'd like what we do, but don't necessarily feel that you are in a place that you want to be giving out a monthly contribution, but just want to say, hey, I think you're great. I want to buy you a coffee. You could do that. So that is ko-fi.com/12pointsfromamerica.
Yeah, just a little digital tip jar. Somebody had reached out and suggested that to us. I don't remember who that was, but
yeah,
thank
it was
you
one
for
of our readers. Thank you for
that suggestion. That was a very good idea. So we really do appreciate that. We appreciate everyone who contributes to helping us. I mean, it helps us do things like go to Sweden for Eurovision. In all honesty, it also makes it so, you know, if we need equipment, we can just take care of it. We don't have to worry about certain stuff. This is not our main job for any of us. This is just something we really just enjoy doing. So we really appreciate you. You know, yeah. So.
And absolutely a massive, massive shout out and thank you to our new patrons, Paul Cranewetter and Kate Hill. If that is the same Kate Hill that I think it is. Hi, Kate. You especially. I mean, Paul, I am incredibly grateful for you.
Hey, but Kate, I'm on team Paul here.
Paul is great. I went to college with Kate. If this is the same Kate that I think it is, this is a Kate that I know personally. So
Liz, what break the tie here?
I am Switzerland.
Ooh.
She broke the code.
Oh.
Hey.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, either way, we are grateful to all of our listeners, all of our patrons, whether you contribute or not. Thank you so much for being part of this. And honestly, by you you know, listening in, being engaged, telling a friend, it actually helps our numbers, which helps us, you know, maintain our ability to get accreditation to events like this in future years. So,
and that costs nothing to do. Also, it's totally free to tell a friend about the show or to leave a good review on Spotify and things like that. Especially, I think, especially on Spotify, like reviews really do help us like show up on charts and things like that. So. If you're listening and you really do enjoy the show, give us that 5-star review that that you know we deserve.
And also, now that we are on the ground here in Malmö, if you happen to be here and you happen to catch Eric or I, if you happen to catch either of us.
Or Liz, I think.
Or Liz. We do have a little bit of swag with us. We have some stickers. We've got some buttons. If you happen to recognize us in Malmö, say hi.
Please do.
Yeah, we love the attention.
No, we'd love to meet you and we'd love to give you some free stuff. So yeah, until the grand final, basically, if you see one of us around town, we will have stuff to give you.
Yes.
That's just true.
We'll just have a pocket full of stickers and buttons and stuff.
So. Sunshine as well. Ooh. Yeah. Okay, so...
Things have not really started off. For,
not quite.
Yeah, rehearsals have started in the press center, not in the press center, in the arena. The press center has not been open for us. So basically the stuff that we have seen as of right now are the stuff that generally you at home have probably seen as well. Rehearsal footage, snippets, photos, things like that. We will have access to the press center starting tomorrow, and that'll necessarily be without seeing any rehearsals of songs. It'll be more just a chance for us to kind of get our bearings, reconnect with other members of the press, do some interviews amongst each other, kind of get the lay of the land. For us, we will start to see the first rehearsals in person on Monday. Yep. So that is something that we're looking forward to this week. We have our accreditations. We received those today. Today was basically just us getting our bearings and gearing up for the week ahead.
Checking out the mall.
Yeah, there is. Oh, I love it when there is a venue with a mall and like a transit hub across the street. This is something that I loved about Malmö that Copenhagen across the way kind of failed us at when we were there in 2014. But yeah, because the venue in Copenhagen was out in the middle of nowhere.
It was on a pier next to nothing.
Basically, yeah. But
I saw that pier from like where the Little Mermaid is.
Yeah.
So you can kind of see it from there. Yeah.
There's nothing.
That seems awful.
Yeah.
Like if... You know,
it was an hour each way to get out there.
God.
Yeah, it was not good.
I also just want to note too that this is going to be Liz's first time in a Eurovision press center.
Woo-hoo. Yeah. It's going to be great.
Even though honestly, hanging out with the four of us, it feels like its own mini press center half the time. But
yeah, I mean, it will be the same in so many ways probably, but also different because especially when you can walk into the arena and watch dress rehearsals and stuff like that, that's going to be very cool. Yeah. I'm excited to figure out what weird video I'm going to make a parody of this year using actual Eurovision footage.
Yeah, if you don't remember our AMC Nicole Kidman parody video from last year, that's floating around the internet somewhere.
It's my favorite thing I've ever done.
It's amazing.
It's so stupid. it's so great. So I mentioned, I don't know if there are any super great travel stories we need to that are worth sharing on this Eurovision show, but I don't know. Sam, you went through 4 countries in like 16, 18 hours.
Not even. Yeah, I left Minneapolis. I think it was a 4 p.m. flight out of Minneapolis. Touched down for about 3 hours in Toronto. Flew to Copenhagen overnight. And then, you know, when you fly into Copenhagen, you hop on the train, you're in Malmö, you know, 15 minutes later. So yeah, in about, I guess in about 15 hours worth of travel, I touched my foot in 4 different countries, which I think is pretty darn cool. I mean, but then again, you guys did the same. You flew through Iceland.
That's true. We did. Yeah, I was in Iceland. Wait a minute. You just acknowledged.
He
was in Iceland.
Okay, you listeners at home, let us know what you think on social media. Do you count a layover in a foreign country? If you are living in or you're based in country A and going to country B, if you have a layover in country C, do you count that as having been to that country if you haven't left the airport?
I do like country C.
Country C is great. You can get a hot dog in country C.
I mean, who stamped the passport?
Did you have your passport stamped when you were transiting in Iceland?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird. We've had to do that the last couple of times we've gone through. So like, we don't have a Danish stamp on the passport. It's it's Iceland. And there's a couple like that now.
Yeah.
Boy, I hope you all love our immigration discussion.
Yeah, let's be honest here. We do not have a ton of content that you probably don't already have access to, but we're grateful that you're here. We're just having fun setting the stage for the week, and we can change to come.
I do want to add, though, I had not been to Denmark before anywhere or Copenhagen. Copenhagen slaps, and I hope sand wins. So that it won't. But if you ever get a chance, Copenhagen is an absolutely wonderful place.
It is.
There is so much cool stuff to do and to see. It's just very, very lovely. It is a very well kept city, honestly. And Tivoli Gardens is just a magic. You know, it's the thing that Walt Disney ripped off when he made Disneyland, and you know the original's going to be better, and it is.
And I just like to call out that Eric successfully rode roller coasters for the first time.
Ooh.
And that was a real turning point for him, I think.
I wouldn't say first time, but definitely the first time in my adult life. I think there was one when I was a kid that I had a bad experience with. And I was just like, well, I don't like these. We're done. And I haven't always been a big rides person, really, especially like bigger thrill ride type things.
I thought you liked Rafal.
I do, actually. But it sucks, but I like it. And like I definitely draw the line at like going upside down or sideways. I don't know. I don't seek out being afraid as entertainment necessarily. And so some of these roller coasters, I mean, they're not all the same, but some of these are just crazy. There's the Demon at Tivoli Gardens, which has multiple loops and a corkscrew. I didn't do that one. Liz did that one.
Yeah, it was fantastic. A really smooth ride. Like I can't believe that of this group, I'm the one who is the adrenaline junkie here.
No, not me.
I can believe that. Nope. I can absolutely believe that.
No, just drop me off at, you know, wherever there's fried foods.
Yeah.
Yeah. I cannot do any rides that are vertical based. Horizontal, like give me a brain scrambler. I'm good with that. Like I love a scrambler.
I've always loved a good tilt-a-whirl, but like, yeah, I don't.
No, I can't. I'm like you. I don't like fear for the sake of fun.
Right. But yeah.
Bambi Thug is basically the closest thing that I come to that.
Bambi Thug. Yeah. Yeah. There are two more tame roller coasters at Tivoli Gardens that I really truly recommend because I really loved riding both. I rode them both multiple times, and it was just really fun. And go with someone you love because it's a very sweet and romantic place as well.
Oh, you two are too damn cute, the pair of you.
All right. Well, that's enough for today. We'll wrap it up there. No.
Yeah.
All right. So we have been keeping an eye on these rehearsals. There have been some interesting revelations. You know, this is the time where looking at the betting odds is actually kind of informative, as opposed to when we do it in January and just kind of laugh at it. As of yesterday, Croatia has taken over in the lead by a pretty decent margin. Still only 24% to win, which is very, very low as far as these things go. That's rolling a 4 on a d4. That's it.
Nerd.
But yeah. But Switzerland had been ahead by a similar amount, and it has dropped. And from what I see, I think people are a little concerned about the staging, perhaps concerned about the outfit, which is a lot.
Yeah. We knew that Nemo wasn't going to go subtle with the outfit.
Well, no. It seems like a pretty wild staging. I don't know. The outfit doesn't really bother me that much, but it seems like some people just... clearly, there are enough people that are unhappy with something about it that they have dropped.
Or maybe even not so much are unhappy with what Switzerland's doing, but are seeing other things that are suddenly drawing their interest. I mean, we're looking at Bambi in 7th right now, and the footage coming out of those rehearsals is phenomenal.
Excellent. Yeah.
Like fascinating, just really dramatic.
Yep. Ali Alexander's back in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
As well. That rehearsal looks sweet. And Oh man.
It's still anybody's game at this point. I think mm-hmm. we saw the odds from the Netherlands drop a little bit after the photos of the first rehearsal came out. And yet as of tonight, we've just gotten video footage of the second set of rehearsals, which includes that the coda. The really emotional coda at the end of this really high energy song. It'll be very, very interesting to see how that reaction, knowing that that coda will be in the performance, how that will affect.
That has been, that reveal feels like one of the biggest like bombshell reveals I've seen from a rehearsal video like this, as opposed to just like, oh, that staging's really good, but just like, oh yeah, we have a thing up our sleeve and we're playing our hand at this point in the process. As we go into the first weekend, it feels like pretty good timing. It will still be fresh news in a couple of days, which is good. He Joost isn't until semi two though.
Yes,
he is closing semi two, so the end of that semi is going to be.
It's going to feel like that. When you have Wile E. Coyote running at top speed off the edge of a cliff, and then he realizes that the cliff is gone from underneath him, and he just goes, oof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he realizes his dad died and has to tell him that he made him proud. Wait.
Wow.
No, that's not right.
Like, what sign does Wile E. Coyote hold up in that scenario?
Oh, it's this is for you, Mom and Dad.
Oh.
Yeah. It's really an emotional episode of Looney Tunes.
Wow.
Now honestly, that whole thing is Looney Tunes, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, but if you look at not just Europop at the end, but the last bit of that semifinal is just going to be wild for a number of reasons, because Gotha is right before Europapa. Mm-hmm. I think we've got Israel before that. Mm-hmm. Who's before Israel?
I think that's one of the automatic qualifiers.
Ah.
Give me a second. Yeah, so the last handful of songs are going to be Georgia in 11th spot, then Belgium in 12th, Estonia, then Italy, followed by Israel, Norway, Netherlands.
Good God. Of all of the auto qualifiers to be jammed in the middle of all that, Italy?
Yeah.
Whose rehearsals also look amazing. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, like you think qualifier down that list. I would imagine, and then you know, yeah, I stick Italy in the middle. Like, does Italy look worse for having being stuck in the middle of that?
I don't think so. It could just be a moment of high fashion because we're gonna have Estonia right before Italy, so it's gonna be dudes and kind of stompy, 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 followed by. Elegant, cool, chill. I think it's going to be a study in contrast, yeah, but I don't think it'll be to either's mm-hmm. detriment.
I am curious. We don't need to delve into this a lot. I am curious about being that close to Israel, especially for shows with crowds and things like that. We'll just compare it to like A Million Voices or something like that. I don't know. We'll see. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I'm sure the EBU's already thought about this. We know that in past years, there have been the usage of technology where, you know, you lower the crowd noise, you, mm-hmm. you know, neutralize booing,
yep.
you pipe in cheers. Who knows if they have that trick up their sleeve. I'm sure this is something that the EBU have already pondered and thought mm-hmm. of and that they have a plan in place.
Yeah, I imagine the intention is to make it seem normal.
Absolutely.
Because that's... This is difficult. This piece of it gets more complicated the more you look at it.
Mm-hmm. It's like the worst magic eye ever.
Yeah. I guess I'm more curious about Gotha going after it than Italy being before it. But you know, if the crowd is ready to, you know, if suppose they haven't been cheering and they're ready to cheer for something. Norway's in a good spot, I guess.
I think it's. As good of a spot as any.
Yeah. You mentioned Belgium. Belgium had fallen quite a bit. It has come back up. The more recent rehearsal footage has been a bit more favorable, I guess.
It does focus on that last refrain, mm-hmm. the repetitive, the sort of passionate yeah. before the party's over repetition.
And we love that here on the show.
Yeah, I know that many others don't. Many others don't.
Yeah.
I've had people calling me out saying, why do you think that this song is repetitive, but this one isn't? So... I hear you. to each their own. But it seems that people are responding to that in terms of betting odds. But again, mm-hmm. betting odds often reflect what just what people are betting on rather than what, you know, what people think that they're, it's a predictive game. Yeah, it's not a science.
Yeah, it's a degree removed from actual like winningness, right. But they're interesting. And they're interesting to watch over this week.
Yes. You know, we are recording this just past midnight, what is now Saturday. In just over a week from right now, we will have our answer.
Yep.
And a little bit longer than that, they'll have the stats all released and we'll be able to really see who's got what and who got votes from who. And it's like looking over the edge of a cliff. Again, with these cliff metaphors tonight.
Cliff podcast.
It's so exciting. It's so frustrating and so exciting. And I don't want it to end, but I also really want my answers.
Anyone want to make any bold predictions right now?
I am going to eat so much chocolate while I am here. You're going to have to roll me.
I said bold predictions.
No.
All right. Okay. We have no bold predictions. I still have no idea who's going to win.
Yeah.
I really don't. There are even the heavy hitters, even Croatia, even Switzerland, there are things I have little concerns about. Mm-hmm. So it's just like,
we have to see it all flowing together, more than just a 30-second snippet, mm-hmm. because that is often the delegations get to pick what snippet they show to the public, and they pick the best of the best or the most interesting or the pieces that are going to have a conversation started.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it could come down to like a missed note.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Nemo slips, not like physically slips, although based on the staging, I guess that's also possible.
Yeah, that's, you know.
but like, you know, flubs a high note. That's it. You're out.
Yeah.
Because it could be really close.
Yep.
And that would be very exciting as well.
I've changed my mind. I do have a bold prediction.
Ooh.
I think Czechia is going to jump up in its semi.
I hope you're right. I think so. I think everybody who I've spoken to have held Czechia in a higher regard than the odds are favoring for it. I think people are really underselling this one. And yeah, it's been underrated since day one.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I'm hoping the clips that we've seen of the staging so far, I really like what I'm seeing. And I'm hoping that's really going to elevate what, you know, what people are saying and what their opinions of it are.
I will note, it is no longer last in the odds to qualify.
Yay!
In semi two. Congratulations, Malta, sort of.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, but
that feels right.
I don't know.
I'd put Latvia below that or Albania. I understand Albania always gets votes, but like, I don't know. I'm not that. No, I think that is a bold prediction, but I do think it's a reasonable one. It just seems like everyone's underrating Czechia, and I don't really understand why. It's a very modern song. It's got a fun vibe. I'm a little bummed to see that they kept the silhouettes of the couple yelling at each other in the middle, because I personally don't like that. I guess I don't really even want to get into it, but I don't like that. Mm. And
it kind of breaks up the flow of the song, and it's just
it for me, it's more of a the way it makes me feel when I see it.
That too.
And so I don't really like that, but I think the song's really good. It seems like the vocals have gotten way better, and I mean, we'll see.
And they sprung for pyro.
Woo.
A lot of pyro, it seems.
Yeah, they're going
like,
for it.
It looks like they'd saved up for that pyro for years after never really using mm-hmm. it before. So yeah, all the pyro budget that they haven't used since they've been back, they just, you know, put it in today.
Yeah. All right, so Czechia is going to win. That's our big prediction. we've got a couple other things we wanted to do to stall for time, you know, and pad this out a little bit. But we came up with a couple of fun little games to play while we're here in Malmo, because sometimes there isn't a whole lot to talk about. So I've been goofing about with the Statmotron. This is a game for Sam specifically.
Oh, dear. Oh no.
Because
there's, you know, there are only two other people here.
Because you're really smart and you know about Eurovision.
Oh, dear.
And so we're going to see. I am going to pull up a list of one or more languages that a song is identified in the Statmotron as having used. So like a list mm-hmm. of, or maybe just one if it's an interesting language. So this was one that I think we talked about earlier as an example. And feel free to play along as well as you're listening. Let us know how you did. If I said English, Amharic, Hebrew, and Arabic, in that case, it'd be Fakir Libi from Eden Elena in 2020. What if I said English and imaginary?
English and imaginary? Aman Banda, Netherlands?
That's right, 2006.
Yeah. Good if job. It's pure imaginary, however, then you have a song like Oyulisi from Belgium. And that would have been 2008, I want to say?
Yeah, there's also one more listed as being just imaginary.
Purely imaginary, huh?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm going to kick myself when I...
Same country.
Belgium. Oh, Sanomi, of course, Sanomi.
Yes, Sanomi. Well done. Belgium,
yeah, 2003.
Between the two broadcasters, couldn't decide what to do, so they just made up an right, entirely
like,
new thing.
Like, seriously, Belgium, you have three official languages, and you couldn't, well, you
how
do
about,
you.
How about Udmurt and English?
Oh, party for everybody.
Well done. Good job. That is, what is that, like a Siberian language?
It is actually, it's part of the Finno-Ugric family, so it's actually not intelligible with, but more related to languages like Finnish and Estonian and Hungarian.
I see.
Yeah.
How about German, English, Ukrainian, Russian?
German, English, Ukrainian, Russian. German, English, Ukrainian, Russian. Oh, is this Dancing Russian?
Yeah,
Live?
Yeah, you got it.
Oh,
you
yeah. Even, yep. Yeah, I mean, Russian is, well, I guess yeah. Probably in some of the spoken yeah. word parts, yeah.
All right, how about, what's a fun one? Irish.
Kjolingra.
All right, it's the only
the
one.
The only one so far. The
only one. Shame on you, Ireland.
I know. Junior, you know, Junior, you're just leading the way as you always do. Mm-hmm.
All right, how about Viennese?
Viennese, oh gosh, that was a Austrian song from the 70s. It's like music, something like that. It's a female artist. I can see her in my mind. A black dress, I want to say. I can't remember the name of it.
I don't have dress info in the Statmotron. I will tell you the song is called Music.
So oh, yes. What year was that?
1971. Marianne Mendt.
Marianne Mendt.
Is the name yeah. there. All right. You want to... This one's specially for you because it's your favorite country. I've got five songs that mention, are said to contain both English and Portuguese.
English and Portuguese.
English and Portuguese.
Okay, saudade, saudade.
That's one.
Nonstop. Coisa de nada.
Yep.
Amar by 2B.
Yep.
Oh, crud. I am. It should be noted that we are recording this at just after midnight 30, so I'm a little bit fuzzy.
I feel like you're doing very well. Yeah. You should give yourself a little more credit.
I'm blanking out right
okay.
now.
Well,
I'm running on fumes right now.
You got 3 out of 5. Yeah. The other two are Deixa Me Sonhar.
Deixa Me Sonhar. Oh, yeah. They switched to English in the last chorus.
Yes,
yeah.
And Danza Comigo.
Danza Comigo. So
4 times in 5 years, 2003 to 2007 that he did, and then not at all until 2022.
Right, and most of those did not qualify, it should be noted.
Yeah, and most of them... I mean, they were all Portuguese except "Love Is on My Side," mm-hmm. which was entirely in English. How about? I don't know what this means. Vuro.
Tea by Nick Kyoso. That is a Estonian entry from I want to say it was a semi-finalist. So I want to say like 2005.
2004.
The very first semifinal. Yeah.
Here's another word that looks made up. Vorarlbergisch.
I can't remember the artist's name, but that is an Austrian dialect. The song, I think, is called Welt der Gutgots or something like that.
My God, yes. That's very well done. And let's see, what else we got? Let me give you like one more.
All right.
Can I give you one more? All right. How about French and Antillean Creole?
Monte la Rivière.
Jesus.
Cali. Early 90s.
He's a machine.
There is no... We're going to have to do this game again, and I'm going to have to like...
I was going to say that's why they pay me the big bucks, but they really don't.
If you want to pay Sam the big bucks, Patreon something something.
Patreon coffee, you know.
Yeah. All right. So, well done. Really, really freakishly well done.
I'm a big nerd.
Yeah. All right. One more game. One more silly game. This is like an 8 out of 10 cats thing. Or No, it's a mock the week thing is what it is.
I think. Okay.
The Whose Line game?
Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Okay. So put on your improv hats. Put on your yes ands. And I just want you to give me, as quickly as you can, phrases that describe both a Eurovision song and a weird Swedish candy. Go.
This is giving me diabetes. It's too damn sweet.
Oh, what's going on in the middle of this thing?
I don't think I can digest this.
I think I feel a bit sticky after 3 minutes of this.
It gave me diarrhea. Listen, it's late. Sam said it was late. I can make stupid statements too.
We asked Danny Derek. Danny didn't get one, but Derek says, oh, it's too salty. I don't know what he means by that.
I sent a message to Danny separately. He gave one as well. He just said, you just really feel the factory processing.
Oh, man.
Sweden.
I mean, I think I do understand the salty just because the Swedes and the Danes seem to love their salty licorice.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, true. Bull.
Well, I know.
Gross.
Bull.
What's another one? Oh, there was more hair than I expected.
Oh, God. Wow.
Did I win?
Quote unquote win, yes. I'm doing little quotation fingers.
Oh, by the way, we didn't mention this is, if you're a longtime listener to the show, you'll be very excited to learn. This is very big news for us.
Oh, yes.
We got the Mons Cava.
Yes. Mons Zemmerlo, if you are not aware, Mons Zemmerlo has a wine line now. He has Cava. We are not sponsored for the record. White Cava, no, Rosé Cava.
Mons, hit us up.
He's got a flat rosé and then like a boxed red wine as well.
He's building a wine empire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mentioned this to our good buddy, Ross Middleton, and he made a point that I'm shocked that I hadn't come up with before. And frankly, I'm shocked that Mons hadn't come up with before. Mons and Merlot. Why does he not have a Merlot yet?
I just talked to Paul Giamatti, who's not drinking any.
Oh, fair.
Yeah.
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 Paul, Mons Zempino?
No.
No. Yeah, I'll keep working. No. It's late. It's late enough. We've shared a bottle of Cava tonight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And by the way,
it's actually pretty good.
It's pretty good. Yeah. I was expecting to like just go online and tweet, all right, it was fine. And then like it's the disappointing end of the story, right? But no, it's actually good. It's quite good. Sam, you have a degree from WAU, we'll say.
I do not have a degree. I have a certification in wine tasting and presentation that I got nearly 20 years ago, so I'm a bit rusty.
Wine A-hole University, by the way.
Again, that's one for the longtime listeners of the show.
Yes, that's an old joke.
But it is actually a really good drinkable cava for a pretty good price, too. I'm not, again, we're not sponsored by this.
Yeah, booze is cheap here.
I'm surprised.
Really impressed.
Yeah, I was totally expecting to be, all right, well, we'll get this and we'll use it for mimosas or something. But no, it's good. It's not too dry. It's not sugary sweet. It's, you know, it's good bubbly.
Yeah, we'll keep you posted, too. We've got a flat rosé and a sparkling rosé and also
a box of red
that I expect we'll be breaking into at some point. So maybe that's a wine podcast.
Wine podcast.
Wine podcast?
Yeah.
12 Pints from America is what we'll probably call it. We'll also bring some home, I'm sure, to our friends, friends of the show, as in the other people on the show, so we can all try it together and we'll do a tasting. We'll do something. Maybe put some of that on the Patreon.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Again, if you want to give Sam money. And also the rest of us money. You can do that. Patreon.com/12pointsforamerica. KO-FI coffee.com/12pointsforamerica. If you just make a It's like our little tip jar. If you want to just give a couple bucks here and there, if you there was a joke that was so bad you need to give me $5, you can do that.
However, if there was a joke that was so bad that you feel the need for us to give you $5, we do not have that set up yet.
Not yet. I feel like at some point we're going to have to.
Yeah, probably. Keep the kava flowing.
Yeah, the hair joke was.
That was.
It was a bit much, but it was, you know, it was okay.
Yeah.
Do we have any more candy/Eurovision?
It's just fluffy. It just dissolves. I mean, once it's over, it's over, and I don't remember a thing about it. It just dissolves like cotton candy.
Yeah, it's pretty unforgettable.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
dead air. Dead air.
I was just so offended by.
Really, Mister? There's too much hair in this. And on that note, everybody, we're exhausted. We've got a long day tomorrow, first day fully in the press center, and a wonderful, exciting, crazy week up ahead. We are so, so thankful that you've decided to join us. Again, tell a friend. You know how to reach us on social media. Email us directly, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We can't thank you enough for joining us. But we will be back with you next time. Until then, everybody, I've been Samantha.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Liz.
And America and Sweden.
Stop listening now!
Well, it's Sweden, so it's like, stop listening now.
Salute.
You need to stop listening.
Salute.
Egg.